Anyone here been changed yet? Praise the Lord. This is a good week. I could tell very first service on Sunday, I thought, man, there is such a unity here already. Usually it takes a few services to get everyone to feel comfortable. But man, right off the bat, there was just a unity ready to go. And, you know, I was just up on, my wife and I were up in Canada on a trip up in Lethbridge and Calgary area. And I was able to meet some of my old ministry friends that I started off in ministry 20 years ago. And I had a lot of contact with them. And they're still in ministry doing well. And I'm still in ministry doing well. And we went out for coffee with a couple of them. And trying to talk to them about ministry was so awkward. I figured it probably would be, but I didn't realize that I would feel like the awkward guy, you know. And when the questions began, what are you doing? Well, we travel some and preach some. And what else you do? Well, we pray and meditate the word. Fast a little bit. And they looked at me and they were talking, we're doing this and we're doing that. Because, especially Canadians have an ability of cooperation a little more. We can see something that needs to be done. The old ministry philosophy I was raised in was you see a need and you meet it. So that's how you start ministry. Find a need and meet it. And so you can get together with a bunch of Canadians and you can do a lot. It's amazing what you can do as a group without even having faith or God involved. It's true. You can say, let's do this for God, and you can build something great. But, I was really honestly surprised. Because normally when I go travel, we preach, so I'm the preacher, and they want to receive from you. Well, this was minister on minister, man on man. This was not you receive from me, I receive from you. This was just fellowship. And I felt like the ugly duckling. I was trying to explain to him what we do and the purpose and the strength and how much I've grown in even the last 5 years of just practicing this message and how thankful I am of the man that I'm becoming compared to where I was going without it. So I just figured, I didn't try to convert him. And when I came home here to our church here at the Prayer Center, I was just so thankful for Tim and Gary and Dave and my heart really went out to those of you who don't live here. And you may be out in their world. And it's not a competition in their world, understand. But it's in a Christianity that's different than the path we're on. See? And we just want you to have a good time this week. You're not the ugly ducking, always remember that. You're the duck. So fly. Enjoy being the duck. I really feel also in my spirit for me, and I think even for us, that we're coming to a place where it's okay to be out front, to be the duck. It's okay for us to know that what we're doing is correct and it's the right path. And it's okay for us to not look at productivity as success. See, that was the real thing, was what are you producing by praying and how many souls have you won lately? How many, what have you done? Well, God's got me in the prayer closet. I tricked him a little bit. I did say, when they gave me that funny look, I said, I'm also doing some writing, That made him feel better. You're doing something then, okay. Please feel at home. Enjoy each other. Enjoy the presence here. And know this, that when you're out there and you do feel like the ugly duckling, just remind yourself that you're not the ugly duckling. You're the duck. You're on a path that's going to bring victory for you and your family. See? And bring us into revival. Amen. Okay, I can start preaching now. I wasn't sure where I was going to go, but I think, when I started off in ministry, I was really hungry. I was kind of groomed earlier on to be a mega church pastor. And then I ran into Pastor Dave. Learned about praying in tongues, and that kind of ruined all my plans to harness people and to turn them into servants. And but I was hungry. I tried everything. I really honestly believed that the power of God was available to see people healed. And I became frustrated when it didn't work. And discouraged, because I knew what the Word said. And I'd listen. If you told me something, I would do it. That's when Pastor Dave came when I was at Norval Hays Bible College. Way back in the early 90s, Pastor Dave came through. And I was in his service, and I've been around preachers already for a lot of years. I wasn't raised Christian, but I was thrown into the typical churches and figured out really quick that a lot of preachers say stuff that's not true or what they don't mean. And so this guy, Pastor Dave, shows up, and he preaches a service, says if you pray in tongues a lot, it'll change you. And I tried everything else that didn't work, so I thought I would try it. Not because I had a revelation, but because I trusted him. And the only reason I trusted him, because in the service, he was over here and he said, "Do I hear a deaf ear?" Then he laughed at his joke. And it wasn't a big crowd, 150 people maybe. And he said, "Do I hear a deaf ear?" And I sat there and looked. No one put their hand up. And I thought, oh, I missed it. And I always back then took pleasure when they missed it, you know. And then he said, no, I heard a deaf ear. You're standing right here. I hear a deaf ear. Who here has a deaf ear? And no one put their hand up. And he kept going. 10 minutes later, no, if you don't stand up, I'm going to have to go in deeper. Don't make me go in deeper. Then he described, you got it as a childhood, and in the childhood as an infection, and you went deaf, and 20 minutes, truth, true story, 20 minutes. I was 22 years old at the time. And finally, someone stands up right in front of him, says, "Oh, it's me." I was like, "Sit down, he's not going to pray for you. You don't deserve to get prayed for, you're going to make him." And he prayed for prayed for him, and they got healed. And I said, I want to hear God. Well, let me rephrase that. I want to trust that I can hear God that well. See? And that's what got me started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I had, because I trusted Pastor Dave from that, but I heard other things, you know, that the reason there's no power in your ministry, or some power, you know, you get some miracles, but you're not bold enough. You just need to go out. You're in the wall. There's a guy in a wheelchair. Go get him. And so I did all those things. I remember one service, there was a poor guy, a one-legged man. And I had just been told, you're not bold enough. And he asked me in the service, said, "Do you think God could put a new leg on my leg?" Well, sure, brother. Because I quit caring what you think. I just wanted to see miracles. So I quit caring what the people said. Yeah. He heals me. Get up. And I had that poor guy hop around. Leave your crutches. God does miracles. He heals the maimed. Hop on up here. And I mean, I was expecting it. I had the church expecting it. The Word says it's true. I laid my hands on him. He'd file out. Get him up, ushers. Pick him up. Maybe he'll hop around for 20 minutes before I let him sit down. Sometimes it's hard to talk yourself out of those situations, you know. No, because you believe it. How many know the Word's true? I heard Benny Hinn say one time, at least I think I did, that God works in silence. And so I had a service, the next service. I was in Georgia, some church somewhere. And I said, God works in silence. For an hour. True story. For an hour, I made those poor people sit there. They looked at me. They blinked their eyes. I'd look at them. And I wasn't going to budge either. I was waiting for God to show up. And I thought after 10 minutes, I started sweating. I wasn't going to budge. God works in silence. And I blink at them and they blink at me. Finally, an hour later, I thought, well, I don't know how much longer they're going to put up with me. I had a lady one time in a service. She said, my back's hurting. And, you know, Pastor Dave does the stretch your arms up. And I've never done that. That's kind of his signature move. So I figured I'd leave that to Pastor Dave, you know. And I finally, this lady came up. We had a lot of people get healed. And this lady's standing up there. And I thought, this is the moment. I'm going to do it. And I was up on the steps above her, and she had her hands up. I said, now everyone watch. I know a name. I said, Jesus. And nothing happened. And I almost lifted that lady off the ground, trying to get that arm to come out. I was like, come on. A number of years ago, I was in Nicaragua. This is many years ago. And I was in Managua preaching. And we took a bunch of Bible college students down with us and did some meetings down there. And I ended up preaching at this little church. It was a little Nicaraguan church. And this woman came up to me, and she put her sick baby in my hands. And she didn't speak English. I didn't speak Spanish. But even in the heat of Managua, I could feel the fever on that baby. And so I prayed with every ounce of faith I could. See, the rest of it was fine and dandy. I didn't mind leaving a one-legged man there, or he's a full-grown man. I don't mind, but this was a little baby, and I was the man of God representing God, and I was probably the only hope that little girl had for her baby. And I had to put that baby back into her hands, see, the same way she brought it. And now I could be a good faith preacher and say, well, baby got it later, or or it was the mom who didn't have faith. But I knew enough to know that it wasn't God. And it's not necessarily anyone's fault when someone gets sick. Please understand that. When someone's sick, it's not someone's my fault they're not healed. It's no one's fault. Sickness is just there. But I knew that there's something in me that had to change. See. And I asked God later, I said, what is it? I knew you wanted to see that baby healed. I wanted to see that baby healed. What am I missing? And he told me. He just said it simply. He said, there's too much of Alan in the way. And I knew what he meant. I wasn't smoking, wasn't drinking, wasn't chewing, wasn't running with the girls doing, however that goes. I was serving God and living my life for God. There's a big difference, though, from serving God and being busy for God than maturing in God. And I knew what the problem was. It wasn't sin. It was too much of Alan's will. Living life for Alan's pleasure, for Alan's happiness, for Alan's joy, for Alan's peace. For I was in charge and God was not. Even though I was serving him, you know, you can be busy serving God as a way of not selling out to him. But I'll sacrifice more for you so that I don't have to die to myself, see. So this is kind of a message there where he's brought me to. And I want to share it starting over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. What used to condemn me doesn't condemn me anymore. I used to feel condemned for not being where I think I should be. You get around Pastor Dave and I'll say, Pastor Dave, there's a scripture I want to ask you, and I'll try to quote it and I'll make a mess out of it. I mean, there's maybe one word in there that's similar to. And he'll look at me and he'll go, oh, you mean this? And then he'll quote it in the whole chapter. I say, yeah, that's the one, Pastor Dave. Oh, do you want the chapter before? And I'm, no, one chapter is fine, Pastor Dave. That's good. And I look and think, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get there. And you may look at the guy beside you and think, oh, if he only knew what a mess I am, what a failure I am to my own standards. See, I used to feel condemned about that. You know, Pastor Dave, he's been doing this for, you know, he's got many years. And we don't yet see the little babies in this box getting healed yet. Well, how are we going to get there? Well, that's part of his grace. See, I'm not a dumb person. I'm a smart person. And I know that I'm on a path that's going to bring victory. And part of his grace is God's able to take Pastor Dave standing and give it to me. The years that he took getting to know Revelation, I cheat. I listen to tapes. That's like cheating. And when it's in you, it's yours. See, God doesn't care how you get it. If you get truth, he can use it. See. So there's not we can't look at it like a time length time, okay? You can't look at where we're going as a length of time. We have to look at it like this will be the result. Not just babies getting healed, but babies getting healed through men and women of integrity and holiness. See? So I want to encourage you in what I'm preaching here. What help is out of this. I no longer feel condemned for what I lack. Because I know that I'm on a path. That whatever I'm lacking in, I will conquer. And I'm a little slow. I'm not like a fast moving guy, but I am deliberate. I move. And next year I will be different than I am this year. And the next year, I'll be different than I am this year. See? And the differences stick with me forever. I'd rather go slow and get there than go fast and never get there at all. And most of what we've been taught, I am learning to almost discard a lot of what I used to be taught. And not compare myself to that. We're on a path. Anyways, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Say the glory. are being transformed into the same image. Now, look at me quick. I'm reading from the New King James. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Now, you looked in the mirror this morning when you got ready and did your hair, your makeup, or got yourself all pretty for church. And what did you see in the mirror? A reflection. So he says, we all with unveiled face are looking into a mirror, and what do you see? The glory of the Lord. Now look. And are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord. See, I used to think that I had to change to get to the place God could work through me for power. But I'm discovering that the things I thought I used to have to change, I don't need to change. I need to transform myself completely out of this person and into who God has made me. How many here you're born again? Keep your hand up. Reds are pure bred evangelists. He'll keep an eye out for any hands that are not down, not up. He'll come over and sing you a song and then get you saved. Some people put their hands down like, come sing, Red, come sing. The transformation. See, when he told me that Alan was in the way, I had too much of Alan. It wasn't that I had to change Alan. Alan died the day I was born again. And God put a new spirit in me. The spirit which is from Christ. The spirit is perfect, it's pure, it's holy. The desires of my spirit are only holiness and love and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control. But left over from Alan is his will, his selfishness, his self-preservation, his desire for happiness that want to lead me. I'm not trying to change Alan. I'm trying to put Alan to death and learn to allow that new nature on the inside of me, the glory, the spirit on the inside of me, to mature and grow and overtake me. So if you're here today and you're a mess when you looked in the mirror, quit thinking you got such a long way to go before you get to where Pastor Dave is. And start realizing the leap that you take isn't one of time, but one of transformation. It doesn't take years of time to transform. It takes decisions to die. So what may take someone years to get there, we learn from our men of God here and think, oh, I don't have to go years of traveling this way. I just have to do, he figured it out. Oh, okay, I got it. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're getting this yet. I'm trying. Pastor Bronk up here may take me a little more time, but everyone picks on him. I gotta try too, so it's a transformation. And why it's available to you is because you're born again. See, when I prayed in tongues, I used to think, I need to pray in tongues to change. Because I'm selfish. I've got self-preservation. If there's two cookies, I'll take them both, you know. I'm stuck. I got to change this person, this Alan. He can be nice to a certain extent, and then he's not. So I've got to change him. But I found out I don't have to change him. I've got the Spirit of Christ in me who he wants to live out of. He wants to transform me into the image that's already in me. He already gave it to me. It's already there. I just have to transform myself into it. And so I don't have to worry about how messed up Alan was. Alan's the one with the past. But there's someone else in me. Paul said, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's nothing Alan has to offer that God can use. Alan can build a church and build a beautiful building for God, but it's useless in the realm that God has us. He doesn't need your talent and ability, your work ethic, and he's not afraid of your failing or your sins or your compromises or your weaknesses. He just wants us to not change Alan, but to put him to death and be transformed to the nature on the inside of us. And it doesn't matter who you were raised by. He's no longer your father. You have a new father. We all have the same father. When you were born again, the nature on the inside of you was as equal to me, to Pastor Dave, to any man that ever lived. It was the same nature that Christ had. So quit looking in the mirror and judging your weaknesses. And start looking past the outward flesh and see what I have to be transformed into. Now let's go over to Galatians real quick. I'm trying my best to preach this. Pastor Dave gets on to me. He says, sometimes you gotta be careful not to preach out of your own head. Like everyone understands what's in there. So just relax into it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, say fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Say Spirit. This is the Spirit. This is your new nature. Now, when God created Adam, do you understand that Adam was perfect? He was pure. Adam was as pure as God is pure. He was as perfect as God was perfect. That Adam looked God eye to eye and didn't feel inferior. Didn't feel any shame or embarrassment. Adam was not God. He was a man created in the image of God. So when you approach God, do you understand that you have life that came from inside? God took life from within himself and placed it in you. When you approach God, you can approach him the same way Adam approached him, even while struggling with your old flesh. But here's the fruit of the Spirit. Or let me just say it this way. The fruit of the transformation from the old you into who Christ has made you. Are you still with me? Okay, if you nod your head and smile and say amen, I know you're with me. All right. The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. Now, this isn't the type of love that the world has. Do you understand that a person who is not born again can never achieve this type of love? This is a love that can only come from God and through God. And it's inside of you, inside of your new nature. See, love. Now, we've heard Gary and Pastor Dave say about the, you know, there's a love that the married couple goes to the counselor and say, we're fighting. I don't like her. She doesn't like me, but we're married. What do we do? He said, well, here's what you do. Here's how you fix it. Mr. Johnson, go every night before you go to bed. Get some fresh orange juice and squeeze it. Then in the morning, before your wife wakes up, make her favorite breakfast. Pancakes and eggs and bacon with that fresh orange juice. Put a little flower, rose up there. Before she wakes up, you walk up to her in bed and say, "Honey, I love you. I made you breakfast." And she'll say, "Oh, I love you too, Mr. Johnson." And then the next morning, do it again. So every morning, Mr. Johnson made Mrs. Johnson her favorite breakfast. Pancakes, bacon, eggs, little red flower up there. "Mrs. Johnson, I made you breakfast this morning." "Oh, I love you, Mr. Johnson. Love you too." Every day for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. After about the fourth week, she said, "You know, Mr. Johnson, I think I would rather have French toast tomorrow." He said, "Well, you ungrateful woman, you. I've been doing this to love you, and you just don't appreciate anything." He shuts the door. Slams the door. Why? Because we can pretend to love. See, we've got it backwards. If I come to you and try to tell you this is how a Christian's supposed to act. We're supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be doing this. We're not supposed to be doing that. What happens is you start doing, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll love my neighbor." And you love them until you're tired of loving them. Yeah. When I'm tired of loving you, I'm not going to love you anymore. I heard Pastor Dave say, "You know, when you're with someone and they're really nice and then one day they blow up and they're really mean and they throw something at you. We would think, oh, they just had a bad moment. But really, that's the real them. Because they have the capacity to be mean." The first fruit of that new nature is the ability to love the same way God loves. The ability to be like God in the sense that I love you and there's nothing you can do to stop me from loving you. He looked at Peter and Peter said, "Should I forgive him 7 times? God said, "No." Jesus said, "No, Peter, maybe 70 times 7. Was that 490 times? 490. Jesus was telling them the difference. In the earthly kind of love, you can put up with someone 7 times and forgive them. Then the 8th time, you're not there anymore. But in the kingdom of God, there's a love that says you can hurt me 490 times. And the 491st time, you're just going to get love. See? We're not pursuing miracles. We're pursuing transformation into this person who God has given us the opportunity to be. You can look in the mirror and see the glory of God in the inside and be transformed from glory to glory. Not from pit to pit, not from failure to failure. If I keep trying to transform this Alan guy, try to make him change, I just had the hardest time. Until I learned I don't have to transform Alan. I just have to put him to death. He's already dead. I just got to make him submit to death and be transformed into this new creature. A nature on the inside of me. It doesn't matter where you come from or your past. You have the same opportunity to grow as everyone else. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that comes from a maturing spirit, from being transformed, is love. Let's just read it quickly. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. There's no law because no one has to tell you. To love someone, you can't help it. You can take Pastor Dave and you can poke him with a stick. And you know what he's going to do to you? He'll just love you back. I used to be frustrated when I first got here. Like, "Pastor Dave, let me smack that guy around for you." It's like, "No, just love him." "No, he needs a good whipping." "No, just love him." When I first moved here 5 years ago, the Lord brought us here. And I snuck into the church to pray. I had home to pray, but I couldn't make myself pray at home. So Pastor Dave smuggled me in through his office, and I prayed here. And I waited for the staff, because they were coming in about 9. I'd be sitting there over here, smuggled in the church, praying, shandaraba, shandaraba. And I'd watch Tim come by, and I'd go, here he comes, going to kick me out. And I'd watch Mary come down, or Derek, or, and I'd wait for it, because that's what I was used to. I was used to, I got used to being another man of God that weren't really men of God, who had power in some circumstances, had authority, had ministries, but also had the capacity to hurt you. And it's taken a long time to trust. That there are men and women of God out there that can only love you, even when you mess up. Because you know you can mess up and you wait for your hand to get slapped. All right, sorry about that. Pastor Dave said, man cry, so that's good. I have a feeling some of you have been through that too. It wasn't a conscious effort, but it does something to you. That's why the prayer center does everything. They send out their letters for free. They send you stuff for free. They put up with us for years just to let us know they love us. Because everyone else, you get a letter, you wait for the last sentence or the last paragraph. That's where they ask for money. All right, come with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When I prayed for that little girl in Nicaragua, and God told me what the problem was, I made up my mind right then. I said, this will never happen to me again. I'll never pray for another sick baby and give it back to its mama. Well, it has happened again. But what God did, I didn't realize it was a transformation I needed, not a quick fix. It helped keep me on the path of praying, path of fasting, meditating, obedience, because that's what's going to make me into the man. Well, that's not a good way of saying it. That's what's going to help transform me into the Son of God, the child of God, the minister of the gospel. That's what's going to help transform you and you and you into ministers of the gospel, representatives of God, where not only blind and deaf and crippled will come and see their miracle, but the wounded of the heart will come and only find love from you. See, and only find kindness and goodness, gentleness. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12, but look quickly into 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And this is going to tell you who he's talking to in these chapters. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not what? puffed up. Now, the only other place we see this word puffed up is all the way back in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Let's go over there quick. Just put up with me for a little bit. I know you have to. We've got the ushers watching the doors. And just real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes to, you know, we know he calls them babes and little children. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. So we hear the word puffed up in chapter 4 and chapter 5 once when he's talking to the preachers. The group of preachers in Corinth who stepped into their ministry and found the power of God and began to act like kings and began to draw people to themselves. See, there was a church in Corinth and a group of preachers got up there and began to draw people to themselves and acted like kings because they thought they were special. Because of the power of God flew through them. I prayed for this lady and she got healed. God loves me. Now give me your money. That's what a king does. Serve me. See, a family, you don't serve your father, you help your father. In kingdoms, you serve. See, kingdoms are where you take a man's vision and you make that vision come to pass. A family, you're allowed to have your own vision and let God lead you and you help your father out. See, I have fathers here. I have fathers here that I respect because I know they love me and I trust them and I love to help them out. But they never asked me to serve them. What are you doing your own thing for? You're not supposed to do your own thing. Yes, you are. It's his thing. Anyways, that's a whole other message. So these preachers walked in power and thought it was because they were special and took advantage of it and drew people and said, respect me, bless me, serve me. So when we hear the word puffed up in 1 Corinthians 13, he's really talking to the preachers. Paul is not afraid to correct anything. I love Paul. I mean, he just out and out tell you what's what. So let's just quickly go through this, and hopefully you'll see what I see. Start in chapter 12, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and then the gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and variety of tongues. Those are the eight different jobs in the body of Christ. Then he says the rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? Now, we know this. When he says speak in tongues, he's not talking about your personal prayer language. But he is talking about a gift that in the church, someone who can have the gift of speaking in tongues in the church, and then another person will have the gift of interpretation into that language. Correct? Say amen if you're still with me. That was pretty sad. Try it again. Say amen if you're still with me. Amen. All right. If you're not with me, just pretend you are. We're all right. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. Now, he goes through here in chapter 12 and lists the gifts of the Spirit and lists the positions, the jobs in the body of Christ. Every one of you have a job in the body of Christ. Everyone's called. Some are called to full-time ministry and some are not, but it's still called. In your mother's womb, when God met you and put a calling on you, how many of you got to pick what you were called to do? None of you. So it's unfair to think that your calling is less than someone else because you didn't get an option. Your calling is just as important as the next guy. And your reward will be the same as the next guy if you do what God tells you to do. Not all are called to be evangelists. Not all are called to be prophets and pastors. Why don't you get comfortable doing what you're supposed to do and quit trying to be or feel intimidated by those doing what they're supposed to do? The body needs to get comfortable being the body. And know that it's okay. All I want to do is this. That's all God's telling me to do. Well, brother, you need to go and do this and go do that. You need to go do this and go do that. That's what you're supposed to do. No, not all are called to be evangelists. If the body becomes whole, the whole job will get done. Amen. You got too many people trying to be one person or two people instead of being the body. So he's telling these preachers, you're not special. You're just a part of the body. And the gifting is there to help you do your job. And the only reason that guy got healed was because there's a gift of miracles on you, an evangelist. It's an Old Testament way of getting the job done. Now watch. A ministry of helps guy, an entrepreneur stands in front of a crowd. Or let's do it this way. We send a missionary to Africa. To a Muslim country, and he's a teacher at heart. He's called to be a teacher, but we label him missionary. Go to Africa and win it. Okay? So off he goes to Africa. We get a letter back 30 years later. Praise the Lord, brother. I got my first convert in 30 years. It took a lot of work, and I finally talked him into it. I finally taught him the truth, and he finally, one guy got it. Hallelujah. And then we send a pure-blooded evangelist. Shows up on a stage and a microphone and sings a few songs and blind eye gets healed and a deaf ear gets healed. And one day 100,000 people get born again. Why? Because the gift of miracles goes to the evangelist to do his job. A teacher can't conjure up the gift of miracles because it's not with his job description. And so he's telling them, hey boys, you're not special because you had a healing. It's part of the job description. And here's what the Lord showed me. When the evangelist stands on stage in front of a people, when a man stands on stage in front of a bunch of people who's called to be evangelist, he's now technically an evangelist. And God said, well, he spoke to my heart and said, I use his calling as the authority to authorize the gift of the Spirit to go through that calling and to see the people get healed. He said that man didn't have to grow or be mature. He didn't have to love. He just had to do his job. And I use his calling as the authority for me to put my power through that calling. Are you still with me? And when he steps off the stage, and now he's just a believer. He's not in his calling. There's no power. And that's why there's no special people in our family. We only have one great man, and that's Jesus. So he's correcting, Paul the apostle is correcting these preachers and the body for worshiping men instead of serving and worshiping God. So here's what he says. Let's start in verse 29. I'm sorry. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? All workers of miracles? See, we're all supposed to be different. An evangelist only has one thing in his mind. Getting people saved. If I brought Red up here, I'd tell you exactly what he'd say. He'd try to teach for about a minute. Then he'd start doing this. All right, turn to John 3:16. All right, rip that page out of your Bible. It's the only page you need. Let's go. There's dying people out there. Come on, let's go. That's right. Every evangelist tries to turn you into an evangelist. Every prophet tries to turn you into a prophet. I've been in those prophet little things where they, everyone, okay, now listen. You're all going to prophesy to each other. I've been there. I got stuck in places. I have stories. And I'm kind of more of a kind guy. Like, if I'm there, I kind of just put up with it until they let me preach. And, or I used to be anyway. And in one place, they're like, this is how we train people. We get them in circles. Now, you partner, and you listen. And while you're listening, we're going to blow whistles and ring bells to try to make noise to help you focus in what God is saying. They think everyone's a prophet. They want to make everyone a teacher. They want, if we learn to quit trying to get everyone to be like us and learn to be confident in who you are in Christ and what your job is, then we can start seeing some stuff done. All right. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. All teachers, works, miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak in tongues? Now, speaking in tongues here is what? For the service, correct? Do all interpret? No, not everyone has the gift to interpret that tongue in the service. But earnestly desire the best gifts. What's the best gift for an evangelist? Get the miracles. Earnestly desire the best gift to do your job. If you're a businessman, you can have a gift of knowledge, knowing when the stock market is going to rise and when it's going to fall. Buying at the right, you just know this is the time to do it. That's a guy, an entrepreneur, I mean. That's how he's going to know. You want that gift to do your job. The gifts are like Gary says. They don't cost you anything. They're a gift. To let the gifts operate through you, all you have to do is be in your calling. You don't have to be a lover of people. You can be mean to people. It didn't cost you any sacrifice. You didn't have to grow up. You didn't have to transform. You lived in this area of who you used to be and let God work through you like an Old Testament saint rather than transform yourself into the person he wants you to be. Are you still with me? So earnest desire the best gifts, but yet I'm going to show you a more excellent way. There's a better way than the gifts. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels. Now, men means you understand me, and angels. And what I think he's doing here is he's backtracking through the jobs. Though I speak with tongues in a service as angels or as interpreter as a man, but have not love. See. Profits me. Listen. Have not love, I become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Now watch. The word love here has everything to do not with the emotion of love. Not with I love you until I'm not going to love you anymore. But has to do with the transformation that you and I can have. Instead of looking down the years of trying to change Alan, I get to hop over to this person that Christ has made me on the inside of me, this new nature. And I can let that new nature grow and mature and overtake me to where all of a sudden, listen, I'm a different man today than I was 5 years ago. There was things in my training in ministry that if you did it in a church, I know how to get you out of the church. I knew how to take care of business. And I'm getting soft all of a sudden. I'm like, man, it used to be I'd take care of that. I've been hanging around Pastor Dave too much. It's because that new nature is starting. That love is growing. The fruit of the Spirit is starting to overtake me. I can be a man who's called to be an evangelist and walk in power and never experience the love that's on the inside of me. Now watch. Here's what he's saying. Instead of love, you could put a new nature, a mature new nature. Instead of love, you can put this. Instead of God authorizing the miracles or authorizing the ability for you to do your job by your calling, he now does it through your new nature. So if I'm an evangelist, I do things behind the scene that no one knows about. I just have to get up on stage. And he uses my calling to authorize the giftings and the power. But off a stage, I'm just a believer. But when I have been transformed, he doesn't use, when I get on stage, my calling to authorize it. He uses the love, the maturity on the inside of me. That's what he uses to authorize it. And that I carry in the mall. I carry at home, my sick children. I carry wherever I go. And I don't have to be called to be an evangelist for the power of God to be authorized in me, because he doesn't use the calling in me. He uses the nature, the maturity. It's not even you. It's him on the inside of you. We call it the anointing of the believer. So watch. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, he backtracks a couple verses. Do all speak in tongues? No. In other words, do all in a service speak in tongues? No, there's only a few who are called to give a tongue in a service and a few who are called to interpret. But if I do tongues, a man of angels, by my calling only, and do not do it through love, he doesn't authorize it through love because he cannot, then I'm just making noise. Ding, 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 ding. And I thought I was getting a reward, but I wasn't, because it didn't cost me anything. I just stood up and did my job. And the gifts worked through me. It didn't cost me anything. I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. You can have the faith to conquer a city, but if you did it by your gifting and your calling, it didn't cost you anything. He did it through you because of your calling. Are you still with me? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, because of my gifting as an entrepreneur, I take all the money God's given me by the giftings and do good works with it. And though I give my body to be burned, but it's not through the love. He doesn't have the love on the inside of you to authorize it. You still get the job done, but because it's the calling. What does it say? Profits you nothing. All your life you serve God and you get up to heaven with this big pile of rewards. Look what I did, God. Look how many people I got saved. Look how many people I fed. Look how many nations I did. Look at it. Look, 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 look. He said, well, that's good. Let's test it by fire. Whoosh. But you did all those things with me. Yeah, but I did them. You were just along for the ride. You did not pay the cost to let the love on the inside of you mature. See, that's why you can have evangelists do horrible things at night and see wheelchairs open empty the next day. Some of the revivals we're looking at, we shouldn't be looking at. They're not an example for us. It gets better, hold on. Verse 4, love suffers long. This is talking about the transformation where you and I take the time and invest ourselves, not into building anything, not into activities, but in letting that new nature overtake us. That's why we pray in tongues and worship God. Love suffers long and is kind. This is the fruit he's explaining. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And love, what? Never fails. Where there are prophecies talking about doing something through the gifting, it's going to fail you. Whether there is knowledge, talking about knowledge through the gifting, it's going to fail you. it will vanish away. But we know in part, in other words, we have knowledge in part because we're acting like children, and the giftings only give us in part. And we prophesy in part because we only have a portion because we're operating under the giftings in the calling instead of allowing the new nature to grow on the inside of us. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come. Now that's not talking about heaven. It's talking about a complete. When I have completed my transformation. Now, don't get me wrong, because I used to think from here to there, he's not going to use me at all. But I found out that even if you just get a little itty bitty of that love growing on the inside of you, I'm just a little taste, then he'll use it to touch people. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And all of a sudden he'll put his power through you. Why? Because he can. See? Because he can. So along the way of this transformation, you can expect to see him work through you. But when I see it complete, I won't just be a preacher of power, be healed, fall out. I'll also be a preacher of love, of holiness, purity. Why? Because it comes together. You can't. That is what your nature is. And you're allowing that transformation to happen. It's no longer I choose to love you. All right, you robbed me. You owe me $50 and you're not going to pay me back. That's okay. I forgive you. You know, when you give the little, okay, you're lucky this time. It's the only answer I have. It's the only thing I can do is love you, forgive you, be kind to you, be gentle to you, to have self-control. It's all there is. I didn't change Alan. He's unchangeable. I put him to where he's already been. He's dead, and I'm making him submit to death. And I'm allowing this nature to rule me. I want to live out of this nature, this glory, the Christ in me, the hope of glory. It begins to overtake me. See, he doesn't need your hands. He doesn't need your work or your ability or talent. He needs us to be transformed so he can do the work through us. Instead of us believing for things, I am believing for this. I am believing for a healing. I am believing for a miracle. I am believing for my needs to be met. We take it from out there and we put it in here. And we say, I am the person that God blesses with my needs being met. I am the child that he heals. I am his child. I'm not having to believe for it, although I understand the terminology. I'm taking it from out here, though, and I'm becoming who he wants me to be. Verse 10. When that which is complete or perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. I no longer prophesy in part or null in part. I no longer love in part or kind in part. It's done away with because I'm no longer a child. I no longer act as a child. when that which is complete has come, when I have completed my transformation, then all the other goofy stuff. And I've been in ministry over 20 years now, and I've seen some goofy stuff. I've met some kings, and they expect it. I've seen love on a stage and then meanness behind the scene. Do you know that I heard it said so many times that God told me and God said that I, when I got here, I didn't believe anybody. You could tell me, God said, Because I found most of it was just simply emotions trying to get you to do what they wanted you to do. Right now, God's telling me there's an anointing on me for 1,000-fold. In this hour, send your gift now. While the anointing's here, quick, get to your phones and send your gift right now. God just spoke to me. You need to listen to the man of God if you want to see your house blessed. And that's the obvious stuff. There's others, but we won't go there. I need to relax and get focused, okay? Verse 10, but when that is which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. No more in part. No more deaf person getting healed, crippled baby staying the same. No more half of miracles. We'll be able to walk like Jesus walked. Why? Because we're acting like Jesus acted. We're loving like Jesus loved. When I was a child, Paul is saying, when I was like you young preachers, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look at me real quick. I'm getting close to stopping here. When I felt like the ugly duckling out there, like some of you feel, and I'm not trying to pet you or make you get big-headed, please, it was because there was a man talking to a child. I wasn't the ugly ducking. I was on a pathway to manhood, where some of my preacher friends were stuck in childhood. And they thought they were on the right path, and they were talking about all their childhood things of building blocks, of, called churches, building blocks. And I didn't have any building blocks. Why? Because I had grown up beyond building blocks. You're not the ugly duckling. You're the duck. Don't feel intimidated or less than, or that you're on the wrong path. You're on a path of maturity. You're going from glory to glory. How much money do you have? Well, you know. How much ministry have you produced? Well, how much of this? How much of that? Well, I don't know. I just got a bigger, my nature's getting bigger. You what? Hold on. My favorite, Gary's been saying it. How do you say it, Gary? What? Say it, say it. How do you say what? I love that. You spend time in prayer? Yeah, I pray too. How long have you been praying? I can't tell you that. I realize, I thought Pastor Dave was just being when he'd go and talk about praying, he wouldn't ever tell you how long he prayed. And I thought he was just being nice, but really he's just being smart. Because you tell someone you pray so much, they think you're crazy. You're not crazy. That which is in part will be done away with. Okay. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. God didn't have to use my calling anymore to authorize a miracle. He didn't need to bring in the evangelist. He called me. I'm not called to be an evangelist. But bless God, I'm going to walk in the same miracles an evangelist does. And the same knowledge that a businessman does. I'm going to get to walk in the same because it's the Holy Ghost. And it's going to use my nature, my new nature maturing in love to authorize that wherever I go, even if it's in the mall, it won't be boldness. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to go up there. I'm going to grab him and pray for him. I had one lady. She was mowing her yard, and she's all crippled up. Little lady. And I drove by her, and I parked my car, and I said, I'm going to go pray for her. I said, lady, I want to pray for you, and God's going to heal your back. Are you ready? Okay. And I prayed for her. Nothing happened. I felt so bad, I finished mowing her yard for her. So you just have a seat. I'm going to mow your yard. I went back. Every time I seen her outside, I didn't see her mow the yard again. But every time I drove by and I saw her, I went out and prayed for her. You know, something's going to happen one of these days. It won't be boldness. Okay, are you ready? Okay, here we go, here we go. Come on, get up, get up. It's going to be confidence. Let's see. It won't be rolling the dice hoping it works. Because that which in part will be done away with. Jesus, not one person, not one came to Jesus, did not receive their miracle. Didn't matter what they had. Have you forgiven everyone? Have you gone your past? Have you done this? Have you done that? They don't have to go through the checklist. They just have to come to the men of God and women of God who represent Jesus, and they should leave whole. Not because of your calling. Because you have become, and I have become, true children of God. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. For now, as a child, we see in a mirror, dimly. But then, when it is complete, face to face. Here's what that means. Now, I look in the mirror as a child, and my reflection is blurry. It's dim. Why is it dim? Why is my reflection dim? It's too much Alan in the way from the true me, the Christ in me, the hope of glory. But then, when I am fully grown and mature and complete, when I look in the mirror and I see the reflection, I see face to face Christ in me, the hope of glory. Alan has submitted to death, and I walk in who he's made me. You still getting this? Now, I know in part, because I'm childish, but then I shall be known just as I also am known. Another version, I love how it says, just as he has known me all along. That was really good. Now, this is how I'm known in part. But then when I look in the mirror, I'm going to see the way he's always seen me. He doesn't see the mess over there. He sees his child over here. That's why you can drag your sorry, failed, old person, and you just drag him into the presence of God. And quit looking at that old person, because God doesn't see that. He sees his child on the inside of you. Don't ever get condemned or feel like a failure, because you're not trying to change. You're transforming to see yourself the way he's always, always seen you. And finally, he says, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. We can move mountains by faith and build cities of God by faith and conquer cities by faith and hope. And all that's going to be good. But there's a better way. The greatest of these is love. Let's become love. It's already in you. You and I just have to let it grow. That's why we invest our time into prayer, to worship. But I don't see any miracles yet. They're coming. We're just on a whole different path. We're on a path. We're not just one man stands on a stage and everyone applauds as the people go across. Oh, yay. Nice gifting, yay. We're on a path where this ministry, Pastor Dave and Gary and Tim, they grabbed us by our coat shirts, and they're walking us into revival. Through all the hell the enemy brings, through all the stuff you have to go through when you feel, when you get a glimpse of who you as a childish you are, you feel, oh, I'm such a failure. You know, all through those times when you got to, where we won't have just one man on stage. We'll have thousands who can walk in power and won't hurt people. And it's not a revival that's going to last for a week. This is generational. Glory to God. Why don't you stand? I don't know what kind of prayer line. It's not much of a prayer line. Go pray. That's the best prayer line we got. There's a difference. I used to be the type of leader that I would tell you how to act as a Christian and that I'd enforce it. And I'd judge you when you didn't. But see, it wasn't in us. Instead of us trying to tell each other how to act, I've become a leader. Not even a leader. I become a man who creates an atmosphere of love for people to fail without feeling condemned. Because I know if we can just keep praying and keep on this path, if you can just keep praying and keep on this path, it doesn't matter to us, it doesn't matter to God how many times you stumble. Because there's something glorious about people discovering who they are and walking into that light. Even through failings. There's such a shallowness of Christianity where everyone's pretending to be Christians. The word Christian means Christ-like. We have many people out there who are born again and going to heaven, but they're really not Christ-like. They're just pretending to be. You have to tell them to go feed the poor because they won't do it. You have to tell them to go give it an offering because they won't do it. You have to tell them to go do this because they won't do it. You have to tell them to be nice to their wife because they won't do it. You spend enough time praying, enough time worshiping in His Word, all of a sudden, you're not pretending. It's who you are. And that's what we're after. I'm going to have Stacy just lead us in some worship here. And I think what I want to do, is release you. But if you're here and you've carried that condemnation of failing, you wake up with it. I know how that is. I had it for a lot of years. Just never good enough. It's like a monkey on your back. You carry it everywhere you go. And even when you've done your best, you still find a way to think it wasn't good enough. You know what happened to me? I got a taste of His grace. And I got healed. To where I can stand in a room and watch everyone be busy around me. And be completely content. I'm good enough. Because that's what children do, right? Children stay put and let all the other people work. I got healed of something. That allowed me to be at peace. I don't have to perform anymore. I know one thing. He loves me. And I believe that grace is here to touch you in the same way it did me. So if you like, when we start singing, come for prayer.